What's it going to be? Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. All eyes are on the stock market today after a strong week of trading. The Dow picked up 174 points yesterday to close at 79.24. That's up more than 20% since the market's low earlier this month. Question is that necessarily a good sign? Marketplace's Tamara Keith tries to read the tea leaves.
Trying to identify the bottom of a bear market is a tricky proposition. Even the pros get it wrong. There's a common belief that a 20% rise in the Dow or the S&P is the sign of a new bull market. And the Dow has risen 21% since March 9th. That's when the market hit a 12-year low. But few analysts are willing to declare the latest rally the beginning of something bigger. Market watchers are understandably skittish. There was a rally late last year that looked promising before it was totally wiped out and more. Not that we want to use the Great Depression as a guide, but there were several rallies during the lengthy bear market of 1929 to 1932, including a big 48% rise, followed by even more losses. So was March 9th the bottom of the bottom? It may take years, or just a few weeks, to know the answer. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The question today is whether another rally will take us into the weekend. So a 2.25% gain for the Dow yesterday. The Nasdaq saw a jump of 3.75%, almost a 2% gain for the S&P. Right now, European markets have turned lower. Major Asian markets were mixed. China and Russia are getting a head start today on a discussion about heroin trade. The UN will meet about this next week. The issue is heroin production in Afghanistan. It's helping fund Taliban insurgents fighting U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
The Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or SCO, was created in 2001 as an alternative to NATO. It's made up of Russia, China, and four countries in Central Asia. The SCO is meeting today to map its own strategy for what to do in Afghanistan.
The West is being criticized for its lack of handling of the drug trade, but I'm not sure what alternative policies the SCO is able to put up in order to deal with that problem.
That's Savante Cornell. He's a Central Asia expert at Johns Hopkins University. The SCO will discuss ways to stem heroin smuggling through the region, but Cornell says the group may not be able to tackle the root of the problem, poverty.
These are not countries that can move in and try to improve the situation in Afghanistan for farmers or provide alternative livelihoods to drug producers. It is countries that have a track record of using only repressive methods rather to handle the drug trade.
And repressive methods, as Russia learned in its failed war there, don't work in Afghanistan. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Having trouble keeping up with your mortgage payments? Are you facing foreclosure? You may soon be hearing those questions as you nibble on popcorn in the movie theater. The Wall Street Journal says the Federal Reserve will start running ads next month in 14 cities with high foreclosure rates. The ads warn about scams where people are charging money for advice that's free from nonprofits.
Learn how to protect your home and avoid foreclosure fraud. It's information you can trust from the Federal Reserve. Go to federalreserve.gov and click on 5 Tips for Avoiding Foreclosure Scams.
The ads will run before movie previews in states including Ohio, Michigan, Florida, and California. President Barack Obama will sit down with the CEOs of the country's largest banks today. He wants an update from the bankers on what kind of activity they're seeing in real estate and commercial loans. They'll also discuss the administration's latest moves to help the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
How about a new business idea from Iceland? After its biggest banks collapsed last October, investors may be wary. But the island's latest plan has nothing to do with high finance. Alongside its fishing, the country wants to take up data farming. From Reykjavik, Stephen Beard filed this report.
After the calamitous excursion into global banking, Iceland has a new message for the world. Send us your computer servers and we'll keep them cool. Behind this electronic door lie several acres of empty space. It's a vacant warehouse in a former US Navy base. Now Willy Torsteinsson wants to fill it with computers.
Well, this is it. This is our data center. This is the warehouse we are converting for our servers.
Torsteinsson runs Vern Global, Iceland's first server farm. He's hoping to persuade some of the biggest companies that operate on the internet to base their servers here. Iceland's low temperatures are an attraction.
Because we don't have to spend a lot of electricity cooling the computers down once we have actually run them.
All you have to do then is just open the doors and let the wind blow through.
Yeah, basically that's pretty much it.
Iceland has another advantage, a reliable supply of low-cost electricity to run the servers. That power is generated by glacial runoff and by hot water and steam piped up from beneath the Earth's crust. It's plentiful power, says Gudni Johansson of the National Energy Authority.
We are producing electricity five times more than we need for our own normal domestic use. So we have a lot more to give of renewable energy.
Iceland's electricity is carbon-free. That's another reason why companies should place their servers here, says Tor Björgolfsson, owner of Vern Global. He says power-hungry data centres using carbon-fired electricity are very polluting.
By the year 2020, data centres will be a bigger carbon emitter than the airline industry. And certainly people can see more regulation coming online in terms of carbon emissions.
Björgolfsson is controversial. He owned a chunk of one of the banks that went bust last fall. No way will his server farm repair that financial damage. But, say his supporters, it's the kind of clean, green business that might help restore Iceland's tarnished image abroad. In Reykjavik, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You can learn more about this story at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great Friday and a great weekend. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.